Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. And when you go onto that site, you can find sermons that we do from the pulpit at Riverside Christian Fellowship. Right there off the top of the homepage, you'll see several buttons there. One is a topical index. One is a daily blog. That's for seeing the text of these messages and you can hear the audio and look at the text all at the same time. The post that you're hearing today will be right there on the front page of voiceofvision.org. But if you miss any of the radio archives, hit on the button Vision Radio, and you can check that out as well. You can find out about what we do there at Riverside Christian Fellowship. Well, it's Christian Fellowship. We worship Jesus Christ, and we congregate together and try to love one another and worship the Lord. But you can find a statement of faith about Riverside and the missions we support and all the various activities that we do, service times and all of that. You can email me, Pastor JD, at voiceofvision.org. And we're thankful to everybody that comes onto the site. Now today, we're titling our message, Venerating Vanity. Venerating Vanity. In Philippians 3:19, Paul says that people glory in their shame and they set their mind on earthly things. I'm going to go ahead and read that passage in its context. So we're going to turn some pages here to Philippians chapter 3. And Paul is talking about people that are moving on with Christ and what they seem to be doing, what they look like, and how to move on with Christ, and those that are venerating vanity, those that are mining earthly things, those that think they may be Christians, or some of them don't even care, I'm sure, but some say they're Christians, and their attitudes and their what they're looking at and what they're becoming like and what they're following is not towards the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, folks, faith is more simple than we realize. Faith is saying that Jesus Christ is the righteous one, and the things that He stands for, truth and life and grace and mercy and peace and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, these are characteristics, and Jesus laid them out in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers. These types of things demonstrate the character of Jesus. And faith is saying that Jesus is these things, and that Jesus is the right sort of things. And so we walk towards Him. Now, faith understands that Jesus performed these things for us. It's not our walk, it's His walk that counts. It's not what we did, it's what He did, in spite of what we did. But when we have faith, we say Jesus is the right thing. That is the way we're going to walk, and we walk towards that way. If someone is walking the other way, friends, they're not having faith. They're saying that this isn't what is the right thing to do. Not that we always do everything that's right, but we acknowledge what is right, and we attempt to walk that way, and God gives us grace to do that. So again, let me read Philippians chapter 3, and let me start in verse 12. It says, not that I've already attained. Again, hold on a second, folks. Remember, this is Paul saying all these things that he had been as a Jew, and now the things that he's given up to be a Christian, that he might, as he says in verse 9, be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, may share in His sufferings, become like Him in His death. And he says, I haven't attained this already, or I'm already perfect. This is verse 12 again. But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. He's saying that now that I've been saved, this is the way that saved people do. God brings people into the kingdom, and then He brings them along through the kingdom. And He wants you to have some discernment here. So He says, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's so much here. Let those of us who are mature think this way, And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we've already attained. Brothers, join in imitating me. See all these things he's laying out here? The way that it looks like, the way that true believers will go. Brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have on us. For many, now here he goes, for many, of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their appetite, their belly, and their glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, from which we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And so, again, in verse 19, he says there's people that glory in their shame. They set their minds on earthly things. They're so focused on the temporal, and they lift that up above God. They make idols. They may not think they're doing that, but they are venerating vanity. Not that we shouldn't pay attention to our appearance. Not that we shouldn't take care of our bodies. Not that we shouldn't strive to be excellent in all we do. Christians should do that. But we can't make these things the final goals for our life. These things are part of the goal of our life, which is to glorify God in all we do. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, the old catechism says. The truth is that too often we're not finding joy in the right things, and we need to do that, to find joy in the right things. When we mind earthly things, our greatest intensity is toward earthly, not spiritual things. Compare that with what we read in Philippians 16. And instead of minding the same things as Paul and those that are maturing in Christ, we have our own agenda, the same as the world's, the same as we were before we supposedly forsook all for Christ. See, Paul said, I've counted all things as loss earlier in this chapter in Philippians 3, and I've suffered the loss of all things, and now I count them as rubbish. But sometimes we come to Christ to seemingly use him as a stepping stone or a tool, like a magic amulet. I like to call it pocket Jesus, to get what we really want, as if we only need Jesus because we don't have money. We only need Jesus because we don't have safety, satisfaction, and rest in who we are. And that's why people call us hypocrites, and why people say that we are using Jesus as a crutch instead of letting them see that he is our whole life. Let me ask you a question today. Where do your passions lie? Now, just be honest. It's just you and God. I can't see you out there, and you can't see me in here. Just listen to what I'm saying. Where do your passions lie? Again, thinking about this text, it says, God will reveal if you're passionate about the wrong things. And think about what else he's saying. He said, you know, follow him, follow others. Watch those that are doing it right. Keep away from those that are doing it wrong. In other words, God's going to reveal if you're passionate about the wrong things, and he'll do so in the context of community. Community. Again, in the context of this passage, Paul is saying, let's all be passionate about the same things. He doesn't mean all dressing the same or going to the same sporting events or any of these other things. He is saying, let's all be passionate about the same godly things, growing in the knowledge of Christ. And if anyone isn't, God is going to reveal this. And he does that within the context of community. People see other people that are letting their light shine, and they realize that there is kind of like with the dimmer switch on. And so when we exhort and equip and admonish one another, we don't look down at them. We look up at Christ and say, come on, we're moving on. We're moving on. Are you coming with us? Stop digging in that pit. Come on out. We help one another. So Paul says, in the context of community, that we should look to one another. Look at the ones that are doing it like Paul is doing it, like Jesus was doing it, and follow their example. And if you're not doing it that way, you're going to find out. That will be revealed to you, he says. So follow those who are pressing on, and not the ones that are falling behind, and help the ones that are falling behind, and warn them, and make sure you follow. Remember what he said, do what you already know to do. Follow what you already know to do. You also need to watch out. There are some that are passionate about earthly things first and foremost. Are you becoming more like the world? Or is your world becoming more like you? Let me use an obvious example here. Considering how important and necessary money is, and yes, I said it, it's important, it's necessary. It can be easily perverted and become our passion more so than God, and we won't give up our habits. And we need what the great theologian J.I. Packer said, we need to develop holy habits that are just on the on switch, you know. Think about passages such as James 4, 13 through 16. Let me read that for you. He says, I was in Philippians again. I said James 4. We got to turn over there, don't we? James 4, verses 13 through 16. It says, come now, you who say, tomorrow or today, we'll go to such and such and town, and we'll spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you're mist, and your life appears as a vapor, and it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. You guys know Matthew 6, 19 through 21, and all of that, and the Sermon on the Mount, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And Luke 12, 16 to 21, where the man, you know, had all these barns and had all this stuff and said, I'll just make more barns and I'll just get more stuff. He was just concerned with moving himself and not what to do with it, but just to gather up for himself. And, you know, Jesus in that parable said, you fool, your life will be required of you this day. Not that we're not supposed to get stuff. It's what we do with it. Wealth is not wrong, but is it controlling you? All our decisions should be based upon what God would have us do, not just upon production and protection, the get it or keep it idea. Like that's the most important thing to us. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 tells us that we should set our mind on godly things, not earthly things, because our life is hid with Christ in God. And we're talking about venerating vanity and about finding our joy in right things. And the opposite of joy is a sense of lust. If I have a joy in God, I can wait on His plan and timing. Even considering my sanctification, joy is patient, and impatience is pride. Pride leads to lust. Let me say that again. Joy is patient, but impatience is pride, and pride leads to lust, which says, I deserve it now, or why do I have to wait, or why do I have to deal with this situation, or why am I here? Why me? Lust is, I want it my way and in my time, and that time is now. It wants to go outside of God's guidelines to find satisfaction. Again, looking at our text of today, in Philippians 3, Paul says that persons who are like this are enemies of the cross. Their desire is to find joy in whatever way they deem necessary. They'll try Jesus just as long as He's getting them the goods. They'll keep Him and say they have Him and turn to other things when He's not really working for them. And they never mature, and they'll just do things the way they want to. They don't follow others as a pattern, and they think they know better, but they are wrong. Paul says they are wrong. They think they found easy streets, a better way, a Christian life and afterlife without a true Christian testimony. They may even think they're covered by Christ's blood. But they're only filling their veins with the virus of vanity. Friends, you need to think about what it is that makes you go. What pushes your button? What drives you forward? And make those godly things. Pray to be renewed in your mind. And we'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. God bless you.
See you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.